Hello, everyone, and welcome to 2018. You know, the great thing about a new year is it's a fresh start. It's a time to evaluate our life and make plans to change the things in our lives that we may want to change. And we know that true life change happens as we make room in our heart and our life for Jesus. Here are three ways we want to help you grow in your relationship with the Lord to see the life change you want to occur this year. Number one, it all begins with making room for daily prayer. Mark your calendars for January 21st. The 40 days of prayer begins then. This is more than a series, but an interactive journey that will teach you to pray and ignite a passion for prayer as you see God show up and answer your prayers. Don't miss it. Number two, the L3 Daily Bible Reading Plan and Journal. God has something to say to you every day when you make room to interact with Him through reading His Word. The L3 Reading Plan provides an easy way to read through the Bible daily. You can access the plan on the Pine Lake app or our website. And number three, make room for others, both one-on-one and in small groups. Remember, when you invest in others and you see their life change, you are building a spiritual chain of influence. And when someone gives their life to Christ as a result of your influence, we will hang a link on our Making Room sign to represent their life change. Over 500 carabiners have been hung, and we can't wait to see more hanging this year. But also, we make room for others through small groups. Life just seems to be better when we have the right people surrounding us. Just listen to Jared and Nikki's story.
Hey, I'm Jared, and this is my wife, Nikki. A year and a half ago, we came to group up, and it was a little out of our comfort zones. We didn't really know what to expect. At the end of the night, we actually left as group leaders of a great group. I've met some of the greatest friends that I'll ever have, and it's helped through tremendous trials in life. You always have somebody that's got your back no matter what time of day.
We have had life things that have happened through our group, and during those times, everybody came together. You know, just a simple text to say, hey, I know you're going through something. We're here if you need us. We're praying for you.
We never would have had anything like that if we wouldn't have gone to group.
Now is the best time to get involved in a small group. Just make plans to attend Group Up on January 21st and get involved in a life-giving group this year. Go online or visit Connecting Point for more information. And now let's listen as we learn more about making room for more impact in 2018.
Well, congratulations. So far, you have not missed a Sunday all year long, right? You've been in church every time. And so that's great for you. But now that you're here, I want to ask you a question. Is there more than this? Is there more for your life than just going to church? Is there more for your life than just you personally being here and us collectively all gathering 52 times in the coming year on Sundays? And then that's it. What about you personally? Have you reached your peak and the fullness of your potential yet? Are your best days behind you and in the rearview mirror? Is life in 2017, was that as good as it will ever get for you? Or is there hope for something more, something better, something beyond in 2018? I want to submit to you today that it's possible and hopeful that your best days are actually ahead of you. There's more than this. For a long time, people didn't believe that. They didn't believe that there was anything beyond what they currently were experiencing. In ancient days, where the Mediterranean Sea met the Atlantic Ocean, there was a geographical phenomenon with a mountain range in Morocco on the south and the Rock of Gibraltar on the north, and formed kind of a narrow gate that went out into the Atlantic Ocean. Back then, they thought that the world was flat. And so to sail past what you could see on the Atlantic Ocean meant that you sailed off the edge of the earth and were lost forever. So they put on those mountains, the Rock of Gibraltar, they call those the Gates of Hercules, and they put on there the Latin phrase, ne plus ultra, nothing more beyond. And that was kind of Spain's calling card. They were the westernmost part of the known world at that time. And so on their coinage and buttons and various places, ne plus ultra was everywhere. They were as good as it got. Nothing past that. Until in 1492, a guy named Christopher Columbus sailed past the Gates of Hercules out onto the Atlantic, and instead of falling off the edge of the earth, he actually discovered what was then credited to him as discovering the New World. And when he came back and sailed back through the gates of Hercules with treasures and stories and many things, the ancients scratched off the word nothing, and they left the remaining sign that just said plus ultra, more beyond. I want to say to you, you may have established some boundaries. There may be some things mentally, there may be some things spiritually, there may be some places financially or whatever, where you have kind of established some gates of Hercules in your own life, and you wonder if there's anything past that, and you may even doubt that there is more beyond where you have been in your life. But today, God is going to call you past those limitations, past those expectations, to a life of more, to make room for more beyond. Now, this idea of making room is an idea that for our whole church family, all of our campuses, for the last 10 plus months, we've been talking about making room. We've been actually experiencing an initiative called Making Room, okay? So if you're a first-time visitor with us today or you're new to Pine Lake, maybe you don't know, what is making room? Making room for us is several things. It's an on-ramp to the Pine Lake culture, okay? To come to a church like Pine Lake can be intimidating and you don't know really how to get involved, kind of like doing double dutch. When do you really jump in? Making room is now, your time, okay? It's a way for you to say, I'm going to step toward my church family and be a part of this for the very first time. But more than that, it was a challenge for spiritual growth. All of us from time to time get stagnant, we get stuck in our spiritual journey. So sometimes you just need a reason to kind of re-up and get back into reading the Word or get back into a habit of prayer and a life of prayer, to get back into a small group or serving. And so making room is that. For 24 months, would you step your game up? Would you step back into the flow? But thirdly, making room is a call to impact. It's a place for us collectively to do more together than any of us could do individually in our lives, and for us to see the ripples of our life kind of have far-reaching impact beyond just our little bitty life. That's what making room is. And so today, I want to come back around that and kind of reiterate that and call you in a fresh way to more beyond, okay, to making room. If you have a Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Acts chapter 1. If you didn't bring a Bible, there should be one underneath the chair that you're sitting in. Turn in the New Testament to the book of Acts chapter 1. The context of Acts is that Jesus has been resurrected. He's about to ascend into heaven, and he called his disciples together, and he was explaining that he was calling them to something new, something beyond. He had been appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and they naturally wondered, hey, what's coming next? Is there more than this? They never could have imagined what had happened so far, but now there is going to be something else. Jesus asked them to come to make room for more beyond. They were too going to impact their world collectively, and in doing so, that was going to mean something for them personally to step into this vision that God had for them. I want you to see what he calls them to in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, okay? The Bible says, this is in the first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, if you have your Bible open, get a pen, get a pencil, underline that phrase, the kingdom of God. Okay? Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time that you're restoring the kingdom of Israel to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. In the way that Jesus is calling these disciples to more than they have ever experienced. They had been to Jerusalem and Judea and parts of Samaria, but they hadn't gone to the uttermost parts of the earth. He's sending them out and giving them a fresh vision of something beyond, more beyond. In that same way, God is calling you today and calling us today to more beyond. What God is calling us to as a church collectively, you are a part of personally. And so God has more for you in the coming year of your life. Would you make room today for more beyond? I want to ask you to make room in your life for more beyond in three different places, okay? Make room for more beyond on behalf of our church, as a part of our collective church. Can I ask you a question? What's the difference between the church and the kingdom of God? Are they the same thing? Is the church part of the kingdom, or is the kingdom part of the church? A lot of people kind of get that all muddled and confused, all right? So I want to try to help you with that. Can I help you with that? All right, here's some shifts that need to take place. One that God is helping me to make, even as a leader in my own life, he's helping me to make, okay? Here's you. All right, that's the skinny version of you, right? That's your desired outcome. You're gonna get skinny this year. This is you, and you are a part of a relationship with Christ. And so a lot of us think that, hey, look, as long as I've got Christ, I'm good to go. But you are part of a church. Okay? Now, I've drawn a building, but what we know is that the church is not the building. The church is just a lot of people in the church, right? That's really what the church is. But the building houses the church. So we call it the church, but the people are the church. Now watch. A lot of folks make the mistake of stopping right here and thinking, I have all that I need when I have Christ. I'm good to go. I don't need to go to church. But Jesus is building a collection of people, and he tells us that we need to get together to encourage each other every single day, every single week, and many of us every day to live like we're supposed to live. But watch this. The church is not the end. The church is actually a part of the kingdom. The kingdom is God's rule and God's reign. It is God's activity and his presence on the planet. Now watch this. In verse 3, what was Jesus talking to the disciples about? Was he talking to them about the church, or was he talking to them about something more? Tell me if you read it. What was it? He's talking about the kingdom, right? He's not talking about building a church. Jesus is not really trying to build a church. He's building a church, but the church is simply a mechanism to accomplish his goal of establishing the kingdom. Now, when Jesus was on the earth, he said, the kingdom is now here. Okay, listen to these verses. Colossians 1:13. For he, Jesus, rescued us from the domain of darkness, and he transferred us to the, say the next word, what? The kingdom of his beloved son, not the church. He didn't transfer you into the church. He transferred you into the kingdom. Matthew 6:10, Jesus taught us to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Matthew 6:33, when you're worrying, when you're fretting, Jesus said this, but seek first his kingdom, his presence, his rule, his reign, and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Jesus has brought the kingdom. It'll be fully realized whenever Jesus returns again, but right now, the kingship of Jesus, the rule and the reign of Christ with his presence and power is available to us, and that's what we are a part of. Now watch this. The kingdom of God is three things. It is over you, okay? It is over us. There's a sense in which the sovereignty of God is over everybody here. Whether you believe in God, whether you're down with church or not, doesn't matter. We believe that the Bible tells us God is the king of all creation. For those who believe him and love him and walk with him, and even those who don't, doesn't matter. God is still the king of all things. So can I just say to you, would you just chill out? Don't worry about what Fox is saying or CNN saying. It don't matter. You need to be informed, but you don't need to worry. God's got it. And so would you just have peace? The kingdom of God is here. God is over us. But whenever you personally say, God, I believe that, and I want Jesus to bring his kingship into me, the kingdom of God actually comes into you. So the kingdom is not just over you. The kingdom of God, now the rule and reign of God, is now in me. God's now the one who guides your thinking. He now guides your wanting. He now guides your choosing, right? Are you tracking with this? That Jesus is not just kind of over everything. No, he's over me. And when the kingdom of God that is over you begins to come in you, then God wants to bring the kingdom through you. Now, the church is just a collection of kingdom people who are saying, God, I want you to do something in me and through me. We gather at church, and the church needs to be strong, but the purpose of the church is to establish the kingdom. Y'all tracking with that? So now you understand the difference between the church and the kingdom. Jesus is talking to these guys about the kingdom. God's heart is not to just have church buildings. God's heart is to see the kingdom come in Mississippi. Yes, we have church buildings. Yes, we do programs. But the kingdom, the thing that those things are supposed to help us do is to accomplish the kingdom of God, the presence and the power of Jesus lived out and manifested in the here and now. That means then, Pine Lake is not a club where everybody gathers together who's got their life all together. No, that's not just a gathering spot. You're a part of the kingdom of God coming and multiplying in this community and around this state, okay? Now, I've thrown a fit about that long enough. Hopefully you understand what I'm trying to say, that you're a part of a kingdom movement. Now, as a part of us wanting to see the kingdom come in the state of Mississippi, this is what I'm asking you to make room in your heart for, is that there are some things that God is calling us to do in this 24-month window, of which you still have 14 months to join in or to be faithful in. But there are six things that we believe God is calling us to do, okay? Number one is, we're expanding some facilities at all of our campuses as a way to expand the kingdom. So if you're in Clinton right now, you're worshiping less than a year in your brand new building. Madison, you've seen expansion of your preschool and children and student ministry facilities. Start when you've got land now, doubled your land space so that now we can, as a family, have room to grow for the future. If you're worshiping right now with our Oxford family or you're part of our Oxford family, we hope to close in the next couple of months on 12 acres of land next to FNC Park, where one day that'll be a building for us to gather kingdom builders. At the Reservoir campus, there is inside the walls out in the parking lot right now, construction underway on a student center. And then once that's done, ultimately a wedding chapel. Those are not the vision. Those are not the end. Those are the means to help us bring the kingdom. You tracking with that? Number two, we do want to see God expand our reach into two new communities. This past year, we started gathering some folks in Florence, and in the middle of this year, we hopefully will hire a campus pastor, and by the end of this year, we hope to be well on our way to launching a Pine Lake, Florence. And so if you're from the south part of Rankin County or down in that South Jackson area, hey, look, would you pray about being a part of that expression? Why? So that there's a place for you to lead and serve and invite your family and friends so that you can bring the kingdom, right? Once that campus is established, our heart is to see in the city of Cleveland, a strategic city in the Delta, because it's a college town and it's kind of a hub for a larger community. We want to see a Pine Lake campus there, so we'll pray toward that end, because college kids are strategic. Let me tell you, whether you go to Delta State, Jackson State, Belhaven, Ole Miss, wherever you are, God has a plan for you now. And that's what we're calling you out to. Okay, so there is expanding some facilities, but expanding the reach of the campus. We want to impact, thirdly, the region of the Delta. I'm a Delta product. I was raised in Sunflower, which is a little bitty dot north of Indianola. And I graduated from high school in Greenville. So when I'm talking about the Delta, I'm not talking about anybody. I'm talking about me. Okay? Delta's an awesome place. It's got a culture all of its own. Okay? But from Vicksburg to Memphis, not everything's okay. There are some pockets and places where it's third world almost, and the educational system and some systemic problems that money will not fix and government cannot help, apparently. I believe the answer is the kingdom. And I don't know what it's going to look like for us, but I do know that I don't want to die and stand before Jesus and say, I didn't do anything about it. Can we at least open our hearts to saying, God, would you help us to love and bring the kingdom right here to our people? We want to impact prisons. We, a couple of months ago, had our Love First emphasis this year for the first time was on prison ministry and trying to reach some of the 28,000 incarcerated men and women around our state. And by God's grace, listen, you helped provide for, pack, and then personally deliver 19,000 care packages before Christmas to say to those who are incarcerated around Mississippi, God hadn't forgot about you and God loves you. And for some of you who are watching right now and you are incarcerated at this moment, listen, our Pine Lake family is saying to you, God has a comeback story for you. Let him lift your head. He is not done. You're not finished. There's more beyond. And I don't know, that wasn't the end of our ministry to those in prison. It's only the beginning. There's more beyond. Maybe God has something for you in that. God wants us to continue to reach into orphan care and to adopt. There are still 7,000 people, children in Mississippi who need foster care or who are eligible. There's a mechanism. If you feel called to adopt, our church has a mechanism, an application process where we can help you offset some of the cost with a scholarship. Our church wants to reach the least of these. That has absolutely nothing to do with building a building. It has everything to do with bringing the kingdom. The next emphasis, we haven't said much about at all, but you'll start hearing about it in 2 weeks. The emphasis of prayer for our body. This is something that's near to my heart. The kingdom comes when we pray. And when you read the book of Acts, these people didn't pray when they needed something. They prayed all the time. But because they prayed, God moved. And I'm saying to you, I have a heart to see us become a praying people, for you to learn how to pray, to have a passion for prayer, and to actually see your prayers answered, for us to have a flourishing ministry of prayer where you feel competent and confident to pray at any time. So those are some of the aspects of this call for our church to have more beyond, okay? And you're a part of that. You are a part of what God is doing. So I'm asking you to make a shift. I'm asking you to make the shift like I'm having to make the shift from saying, you know what, I'm by myself, to, hey, I'm in the church. But listen, if in the church is the end for you, you miss it. Church either becomes an idol or you become religious, and both of them are dead. I'm asking you to expand your vision for what God has for us, and that is that you become a part of the kingdom over you, in you, and through you. I don't want to build a church. Jesus is going to do that. I want to be a part of bringing the kingdom. And that's what God is calling us to be about. Make room for more beyond with your understanding of what God's doing among us as the gathered church, right? Secondly, I want to ask you to make room for more beyond just for you personally. Because if God's going to do more through all of us, just like the disciples, God wants to do something in you personally. He wants more in your life. He's not done with you. So don't set a limit. Don't set a boundary. Don't pronounce, well, I guess I'm done. This is as good as it gets. No, blow that lie up in Jesus' name. Claim Acts 1:8 that there is power coming on you when you receive the Holy Spirit of God. God is not through. Jesus told these men in verses 4 and 5, listen, you're going to be baptized by the Holy Spirit not many days from now. There's going to be a new presence that is with you 24/7. Verse 8 says they would get power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. That word power in Greek is dunamis. It's where we get our word dynamite. Dynamite blows stuff up. Come on, any of y'all ever played with dynamite? I've had a little bit of experience. It's illegal, so I won't tell you much about it. But it blows some stuff up. You can blow up beaver dams and junk. You can just really blow stuff. It sets stuff free. It shakes stuff loose. The Holy Spirit of God will blow stuff up and shake stuff loose in your life. He'll make a new way. That's what he does. Now, the Holy Spirit, when he came upon these disciples, these men had been stuck. They were cowardly. They were timid. They were uneducated. But when the Holy Spirit came on them, what happened? All of a sudden, their character is transformed. They're men of strength. They're men of courage. They confound the people who are supposed to be their teachers. Why? Not because they're smart, but because they learned to depend upon the Holy Spirit. The kingdom had come. God was with them. And it introduced a power in their lives that what Jesus had been doing, they began to do. Why? Not because they had the strength or they made it happen, but because the Spirit of God was in them. Jesus promised, John 14:12, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Not that you'll do stuff that's better than Jesus' stuff. It's that whenever Jesus was doing his stuff, he was limited, like us, to one place and time. But now that he's gone to the Father, he pours forth his Holy Spirit, and he can do supernatural stuff all over the place right now through you. And the things that Jesus had done, he did through his apostles. Whether it was preaching powerfully or healing disease or raising dead people or seeing the demon-possessed set free, they were able to do it because the new power had come. And I want to raise your expectation level for more beyond just what you've been doing and living in life. for more than just making room, that God in this year wants to do something in you that is bigger and stronger or more than you ever thought or imagined. There are times in your spiritual life when you do things because it's the right thing to do, and then there are sometimes when you do things because you're really motivated and you feel it. Okay? When we started making room back in March of 2017, I didn't fill out my card and do the things that I pledged to do and am doing those things. I didn't do it because I was feeling it. I did it because I knew it was the right thing to do. Come on, can anybody feel me right now? All right, don't hate me as your pastor saying there are times when I do things because I know it's the right thing to do, even though I don't feel like doing it. But I'm telling you, I started this 24-month deal not out of, I can't wait to give my money. I can't wait to, be stretched, whatever. I did it because I knew God was calling me to set an example and to be a part. Okay? But my expectation level, just honestly, wasn't real high for me personally. God's going to do some things, but I don't know what he's going to do in me. Okay? In December, about 3 or 4 or 5 weeks ago, a guy asked to come see me. He's a guy who's a doctor who's doing his residency here in Jackson, and asked to see me. So I set a time. Took us a little while. We finally got to sit down and meet. And when we did, man, it was an awesome conversation. He told me about how his grandparents were street kids on in the mountains of Guatemala, and man, just a crazy journey of his life, and how his dad, went to another place in South America and ultimately met his mom and got married, had him, and they moved around, came to America, and how he gave his life to Christ, but had a season of running from God and into drugs and deep stuff, but how God, man, has supernaturally superintended his life, even to this point right now. He's here, okay? But he said, hey, I came to tell you God has a word for you. And then he told me what he felt God had told him to tell me. Now, you need to know that doesn't freak me out. That happens from time to time. I'll receive those words, but I don't base my life on words other people give me. Okay, that's just me. It's good. May confirm some things. And so I received it that way. Man, I received that. God spoke a word to me that encouraged me and lifted me up. But then this past Wednesday night, after First Wednesday, a guy that I know somewhat well, see him in church all the time, he's here very faithfully, he came down after service was over with me and he said, hey man, God has given me a word to speak to you. And the word he spoke to me was almost exactly verbatim what the other guy said. Now look, in my flesh, when you hear somebody say, hey, I got a word from God, you receive it in your spirit, but in your mind, in your flesh, you start to wonder, did he really, is that just smoke? Or is that just smoke? I'm just telling you, that's a part of my human flesh. That's what I thought. But when this other guy who doesn't know this man from Adam, I don't know that their paths have ever crossed, came and said the exact same thing, God had my attention. Then this past Friday, I checked my email, which you may think that's no big deal, but I check my email quarterly whether I need to or not. If you ever email me, don't get offended. I don't answer anybody's email, okay? So don't get your feelings hurt. I don't enjoy it. It's not an effective way for me. Y'all don't want to hear all that. I just don't check email. But I did. I delete most things once a quarter. But I saw this one email, and I at least looked at it, and it was a message from a member of our church who said, hey, listen, God has given me a picture and a word for you, and this is the word. And look, 3 times in a row, God's knocking me upside the head, and he's got me now on the edge of my seat for 2018 saying, God's got something for me. And I don't know what it is, but I don't want to miss it. And I'm saying to you, God's got something for you. And by his Holy Spirit, let me tell you something, he wants to change your character, and he wants to grow, and he wants to stretch you. By the power of Jesus, he wants to give power to you through his Holy Spirit. He wants to blow some stuff up. He wants to set somebody free. He wants to introduce you to the supernatural way of life that will blow your mind more beyond past anything that your human limitations, where you've set those gates of Hercules and, well, I just won't ever have more than that. God says, let me blow that up. There's more beyond. There's more faith. There's more hope. There's more strength. There's more power. There's more freedom. God wants to do that in you. The kingdom that is over us is the kingdom that comes to us. And this is my prayer for you and for me this year, Ephesians 3:16. I pray that God would grant to you, according to the riches of his glory, that you would be strengthened with dynamite, supernatural, divine power through his spirit in your inner man. I'm not talking about changing your behavior on the outside. I'm talking about a metamorphosis from the inside out. That I'm a part of something bigger, but you know what? I am part. God is doing something around you, right? He's doing something over you. He's doing something in you. I want to ask you to make room one more place. I want to ask you to make room for God to do something more beyond through your life. Over my life, through my church family, I'm a part of something bigger. In my life, because God's got a plan for you. But God wants to do something through your life. Verse 8, he said, you are going to receive power, but you're going to receive power to this end, that you would have spiritual kingdom impact. That God's going to use you. God's going to inhabit you. God's going to take over your mouth and your heart and your mind and your life and use you as a light in a dark world. You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. Now, that idea of being a witness, that word simply means that they would testify to their experience, that they would provide proof and evidence of the reality of the kingdom of God in them. They weren't trying to convince people. Their job was simply to tell people there is a better way. And God is saying to you, your job is not to convince your dad. Your job is not to convince your boss or your friend or your coworker. Your job, what God wants to do, is he wants you just to tell what's happening to you. Now watch this. God will never do through you what God doesn't first do in you. Okay? But when God does something in you, now you've got something to share. And something to testify about. I think we've made this, in many ways, so negative to tell somebody about Jesus. You think, oh my gosh, I don't want to do that. Why not? Well, they act like their life's all together. I don't want to tell them about Jesus, kind of ruin their swag. Really. Has it ever occurred to you that the reason that guy drinks like he does and she does drugs like she does, legal or otherwise, the reason that dude pours himself into school or work, the reason he pumps iron or she works out religiously and relentlessly and bounces around from one relationship to the other, has it ever occurred to you that they don't have it all together, that they're actually trying to fill a void in their life? They're empty? Did it ever occur to you that maybe they need the good news? Jesus never saw the kingdom as something that he had to apologize for. At no point did he ever say, dude, I hate to do this to you, but psst. No, he said things like this. I got something. The kingdom of God is like a treasure that a man found in a field. And when he found it, he hid it and he sold everything he had just so he could come back and buy that field and have it. Nothing like it. It's like a pearl of great price that a person who really understands the value of it leverages everything to get it. Jesus knows that he is calling us into the kingdom, a spiritual reality of the presence and power of God every single day. And that's not bad. That doesn't ruin your life. It makes your life. We've made it too negative. And so I want to take that stigma away. It's not negative. You're just testifying to hope. You're calling people to hope. And we've also made it too hard. We think that somehow to, you know, tell somebody about Jesus, I have to memorize the whole Bible, I have to know all the answers, I have to have all my junk together, because if I have any place where I'm not 100%, I can't tell. Okay, I'm just telling you, that's the junk that goes through our mind that keeps us from actually telling somebody about what God is really doing in us. Let me tell you something. If you can draw three circles, right? Come on. Y'all know what I'm doing? You can draw three circles. You can do this. That God has a design for you. He wants you to experience his love and peace and joy and purpose. But you're broken because you did something dumb, turn away from God, and now you're broken and you're trying to fill your life with stuff on the outside because you're empty as you know what on the inside. And everybody's out there trying to fix what's broken. And yet the only way is for Jesus. Jesus came to pay for your sin, to fix your brokenness, to restore you to God's design so that now you could live with love and joy and peace and purpose right now. And the way you go from broken to Jesus is by repentance and faith. That's not hard. You can draw three circles. A Mississippi State grad can do it, okay? You can do it. You can do it. It's not that hard. It's not always drawing three circles. Sometimes it's just, hey, man, let me tell you what God's doing in me. Sometimes it's just, hey, man, y'all got it. You need to come check something out. I love it because there's a guy in the Bible named Levi who was a tax collector who was broken and filling his life with everything other than God. He didn't know he was broken until Jesus walked up to him one day and said, hey, man, I want you to follow me. And he said, yes. Now, you know the next thing he did? The next thing he did, according to Luke chapter 5, is this. Levi gave a big reception for Jesus in his house, and there was a great crowd of tax collectors and other people who were reclining at the table with him, and the Pharisees and the scribes, everybody who had made church a religion. Okay, check it now. Everybody who had made church the end game, and they had become very religious, they're beside themselves, and they're grumbling at the disciples saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Because they need the kingdom. Matthew didn't know any better but just to bring all his drinking buddies to Jesus. And I'm telling you, it's not that hard for you to start living your life like the kingdom of God is in you and then start sharing with your other guys, hey, man, this is the way I roll now. This is the way I get down now. I ain't trying to bring you into church, bro. I'm trying to get you into life. You ain't got to do it, but I am. I think you're missing. I think you're searching. But I'm telling you, I'm finding life right here. Love to help you find it too. God wants you to intentionally leverage every relationship you have for him. But I'm asking you in this season to at least intentionally go for one. I shared this with you guys last year in March. I'll do it again just for some of you who were not here. But in the 1950s, Billy Graham was preaching a crusade in the Jackson, Mississippi area. And a guy named Damon Vaughn from Pearl went to see Billy Graham, and he gave his life to Christ. Billy Graham influenced Damon Vaughn. I don't know what else Mr. Damon Vaughn did, but among the rest of his life, one of the things he did was he impacted a guy named Billy Pierce. Billy Pierce was led to faith in Christ and the kingdom through Damon Vaughn. And now Billy Graham is influencing two men. Billy Pierce, I don't know what all he has done. I know he's a pastor. He's influenced a lot of people. But one of the persons that he influenced was a college student returning to Marks, Mississippi from Northwest Community College, a young girl who was the homecoming queen, and she was dragging behind her some duck-tailed white T-shirt, penny loafer-wearing dude who played football named Gene Henderson, my daddy. And Billy Pierce talked to my daddy about Christ. And my daddy became a believer and broke generational things in doing so. My dad became a pastor, and when we were in Columbus, Mississippi, he influenced a college student named John Taylor. And John Taylor, though he was still in college, believed that God was calling him to more, even in college. And so he began to teach a Sunday school class of eighth grade boys. And I was an eighth grade boy. And John Taylor, as a college student, influenced me, and I gave my life to Christ. Now, I can trace my whole tree back to Billy Graham, but these are just men who are walking and sharing influence and inviting other people into the kingdom. My chain's not done yet. I've got one more carabiner where I'm asking God for somebody special in my life. I got a guy I'm praying for. I'm praying for him that he would come to faith in Christ. So I keep a carabiner on my desk or in my pocket, got a note on my phone every day to pray for that person. And I'm saying to you, God wants you to have one person that you could say, you know what, that's my one. And I'm going to pray for them. I may not pray every day, but as often as I see this thing, I'm going to pray for them. And I'm going to see that the kingdom of God that is over me and in me could come through me. Could it happen? Could God really do that? Listen, if you'll go out in the commons right now, you'll see it's happened over 500 times since March. Yes. Your goal is simply to testify. To pray, believe, and testify that God could change somebody's life. When Christopher Columbus sailed out the gates of Hercules. Everybody thought he's done. Life's over. Nothing more beyond. We'll never see him again. But when he sailed back through the gates of Hercules with treasure and stories to tell beyond their wildest imagination, everybody understood there's more beyond, and nothing was ever the same again. Can I tell you that 2,000 years ago, even before that, people wondered, was there anything past death? And a man named Jesus Christ, God among us, came and he lived and he died. And everybody thought there was nothing more past that. But Jesus passed through the gates of death. And then 3 days later, he came back with riches and stories of a power and the presence of God. There is more beyond. Would you allow Christ today? Would you allow him today to take the negative out of your heart and no longer be nothing more beyond? Would you today say, God, there is more beyond? There's more beyond for our church, and there's more beyond for me. And God, there's more beyond what you want to do through my life. Come on. Would you lean toward God? First church service of 2018. Don't let it be church. Let it be an invitation to the kingdom, to more. Could we pray to that end across every campus? Those of you who are watching podcast right now, would you just pray? I want to pray for us, and I'm going to ask you to pray. Lord God, would you today hear us say thank you for never quitting, never giving up, God, for showing us the way. God, for always making room for more at any age, at any time, God, you're calling us to more. God, thank you that you are calling us in 2018 to more. More as a church family, God, more personally, God, more through us, God, to bring your kingdom. And Lord, that's our desire. Would you stir within us by your Holy Spirit? God, would you stir within us the kingdom? Let it come over us. God, let it fill us. Lord, would you bring it through us? Now I want to ask you, would you personalize that prayer? Would you just personalize that prayer? Not God do it through us, but God in me. What does God have for you? Maybe as a part of this kingdom movement called Pine Lake, is God calling you? Is he asking you to step forward maybe toward adoption or foster care, or prison ministry or prayer ministry? Is he stirring something within you to be a part of a church plant, to help impact your hometown where you grew up in the Mississippi Delta? Would you invite him to do something in you? Would you just say, Holy Spirit, I receive you. Fill me up. Give me power. And if there are things that need to be broken off, things that need to be transformed, things that need to be changed, things that need to be healed, would you just say, Holy Spirit, break it. Do it. I receive it. Not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit, Father. Would you do this? Who does God want you to influence? As God does this thing in you, who is it that God wants you to pray for and seek to just testify to? Not to make them become a Christian, but just to give them the opportunity to hear about Christ. Would you pray for them right now? Maybe some of you feel this strange sense that, you know what, I'm broken. And I'm a mess, and I've come to church, but I've never had the kingdom of God come to me. Well, look, if that's you right now, if you want the kingdom of God to come into you, if you want a relationship with Christ to go from death to life, from a self-directed life to a Christ-filled life, would you just pray this prayer? Jesus, you love me, and I don't understand why, but you do, and I trust that. And I am a mess, and I can't fix it. And so, Jesus, I give you me and my mess. And I receive your grace and your love and your forgiveness right now. I trust you, and I say, have my life. Holy Spirit, fill me. You don't have to pray those exact words, but something like that. And would you pass from death to life and into his kingdom today? In just a second, I'm going to close this time of prayer. We're going to sing one more song. One more song that just says, I'm going to build my life upon the love of Jesus. I'm going to trust him. And while we're singing this song, listen, we're going to stand up. I don't want you to leave. I want you to, for some of you to step forward. There'll be ministers, people who want to pray with you about anything, about your kingdom experience, something about your health or your physical life or relational life or emotional life. Listen, if God calls you to want to be prayed for, would you, instead of leaving, would you just come to the front? Would you give your life to Christ today, maybe for the very first time? In this prayer, we're going to stand. We're going to respond. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Receive our worship. God, release your kingdom as we pray. In Christ's name, amen.